be streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The first orders of business for President Trump, executive orders and pardons signed. CBS's Matt Piper.
President Trump signed pardons and commutations from the Oval Office that he says will cover about 1,500 people criminally charged in the attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021.
These people have been destroyed. What they've done to these people is outrageous. There's rarely been anything like it in history, in the history of our country.
He also signed executive orders on immigration.
This next order relates to the definition of birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment of the United States.
Yeah, that's a good one. Birthright. That's a big one.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
The Trump administration is expected to begin mass deportations as soon as tomorrow, beginning here in Chicago. Immigrant community activists rallied today protesting the plans. National Immigration Mahentes Martin Encuenta says he's ready to act.
We are preparing our community in order to fight against this administration. That's today's begins.
It has been a day filled with pomp and circumstance as Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. CBS's Stacey Lin on what he did right after he wrapped up his speech.
After the ceremony, President Trump walked downstairs to Emancipation Hall and got a whole lot of applause from those who watched on Jumbotron.
You're a younger, far more beautiful audience that I just spoke to. And I want to keep it off the record.
Stacey Lin, CBS News, the Capitol.
Before leaving office, Joe Biden granted preemptive pardons to some of his relatives. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports.
In a statement, Biden said his family had been, quote, subjected to unrelenting attacks and threats motivated solely by a desire to hurt him. He said it's, quote, the worst kind of partisan politics, and he had no reason to believe the attacks would end. Biden signed blanket pardons for his brother James and his wife Sarah, his sister Valerie and her husband John Owens, and his brother Francis.
A winter storm threatens states across the Gulf Coast with snow and ice. Houston is forecast to receive several inches of snow. Darren Carroll of CenterPoint Energy.
We're going to have a lot of crews out working. They're going to be staged ahead of any outages even occurring. And so the more folks that are on the road, the more dangerous it becomes.
An L.A. area wildfire relief concert called Fire Aid will feature big names including Sting, Billie Eilish, and Lady Gaga. It was originally scheduled to take place at the Intuit Dome in Inglewood, California, but the event has grown in size and will now take place in two venues, the Dome and the adjacent Kia Forum on January 30th. Coco Gauff loses to Paula Badosa in the Australian Open quarterfinals. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
The Badgers are moving up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers moved up in the national AP Top 25 thanks to a string of wins, including beating USC over the weekend. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation. They'll play UCLA tomorrow night. Marquette still highly ranked, moving down from 7th to 10th in the nation after losing to Xavier over the weekend, their first loss in the Big East Conference. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. I did think our guys showed incredible character, resiliency, fight to make it one possession. Didn't get it done.
NFL Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, is headed to Chicago. He'll sign the paperwork tomorrow to become the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. The Lions were eliminated by Washington over the weekend. In Atlanta, it's Ohio State against Notre Dame tonight in the title game for the College Football National Championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, you know it's a slow holiday weekend at the box office when a movie that was released 5 weeks ago is number one. Mufasa, The Lion King, has been ranked one or two since its release on December 20th. And this past weekend, the film brought in almost $12,000 to lead the way at the domestic box office. Mufasa barely edged out the number two film over the weekend, Sony Pictures' One of Them Days, which reviewed incredibly well and brought in $11.6 million last weekend. The comedy about two girls trying to make rent, starring Kiki Palmer and and SZA is a surprise hit. Wolfman finished in third place in its opening weekend with just under 11 million and mediocre reviews. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 actually moved up a spot from number 5 last week to finish in fourth with about $8.5 million, and it was Den of Thieves 2, which opened at number 1 last week but had a huge drop off and finished with about $6.5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, partly cloudy, bitter cold, a low of 18 below, wind chills to 35 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, a high maybe to zero. Some flurries and snow showers for Tuesday night into Wednesday, high low 20s. Currently, it's 11 below.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network to help us make sense of all of the chaos and moving elements of this next Trump administration. Every Monday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be joined by some very smart folks from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My next guest, I'm very happy and humbled to bring him back to the show. You've heard from him before, my friend, and now a friend to each and every one of you. His name is Colin Seeberger. He's the Senior Advisor of Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here to talk about, I don't even know what you call what we watched this morning. Maybe the billionaire fest that was the 47th president's inauguration this morning. It was wild.
Yeah, I don't know if we were celebrating the transition of power in this country or this was just groveling at the feet of the broligarchy. It was really incredible to see some of the, most wealthy people in the history of the world Yes. be getting, positioned right behind the president, right behind the vice president. Meanwhile, you have members of his cabinet being pushed further back. You have members of Congress not even be able to get into the room. Governors, people like Brian Kemp, people right. like Governor Abbott of Texas,
they're
right?
in the
These
overflow
are allies.
Room.
Allies of the president, right, aren't even able to get a foot in the door because Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, it was incredible. And it really just, I think, underscored for folks who is a priority for Donald Trump. And I think it's a real warning sign to Americans as to, what may be coming over the course of the next 4 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to ask you a question, Colin, about like these two competing ideas or lines of commentary that at least are floating around in my head, and I think a lot of people's. One is the fact that President Biden, including Vice President Harris, President Obama, former President Clinton, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, showed up and participated in today's events, and why, at least in my opinion, it was the right thing to do, because this is about the office of the President of the United States. It's about being able to criticize our government and institutions and yet still show respect for our democratic processes, right? That at that same time, you have a crass ass who never shows any class, right? Like denigrating the former president that's sitting right behind him. So this idea,
And I think it plays out on different levels, right? That we can criticize and demand more from our institutions, and yet understanding that our democratic processes those things have to be improved and yet respected in these moments of transition and these pivotal tipping points. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? Because there's not just one line of thought here. We've got to deal with a bunch of competing ideas at the same time.
Yes. While I understand perhaps the instinct of some folks to want to take a pass, particularly people like former Speaker Pelosi, who was hunted down in the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago by the president's supporters. Do I understand? Do I empathize with the decision to not attend? Yes. Do I also recognize that Donald Trump, the American people just voted for him? I think that kind of the first step in healing is acknowledging, you have a problem, right? And that's why I think for Democratic leaders who chose to attend, I think it's an important first step. It's an important picture for the American people to see that, you know, we have these political differences, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue to respect the will of the people and also make progress where, we're able to find common ground.
Yes. And here is the thing that I think, based on his inaugural address today, that leaps to the top of my mind. And that is, you ran on a platform committing to help the middle class. And yet it seems one of the first things that you're interested in doing is actually rolling back rights for many people, and that there will be a lot of things coming. I don't know what the raids are going to look like in Chicago, LA, New York this coming weekend. I don't know what form all of this will take, but the idea that we're coming for your rights, and frankly, some of his promises in his inauguration to do that, I think should merit pause for people. And hey, is this actually serving the American people? How does this serve and better the working people and the regular middle class that he promised to help lift up?
So I think that's actually my big takeaway from the speech this morning is, you know, you look at all the ads that Donald Trump ran on air from his campaign during the election, you know, a lot of them were really focused on, we need to lower the cost of living. We need to lower prices. Inflation is killing people. People feel more squeezed than ever. And yet, you know, the guy was ticking off his day one priorities list, and he's talking about, we need to crack down on DEI and gender this, that, the next, and, bureaucrats this. And hey, we're going to invade Panama, right, and try to seize the Panama Canal, right? All of these things are meant to be a distraction from the fact that the guy doesn't have a day one agenda or a 4-year agenda to lower the cost of living, to bring down grocery prices. You played a clip just a few minutes ago where Donald Trump was talking about putting the American flag in Mars. You're telling me we have the money, we have the resources to be, underwriting Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos sending people to Mars, but we don't have the money to make your groceries a little bit cheaper at the end of the week? Give me a break.
Well, and that's, to me, that this point at which you come to, this inflection point, where if you look at the executive orders that he promised to execute this morning in his inaugural address, and we can grant that there is a problem with at the southern border and with our immigration system. It doesn't work well. It's not efficient. It's not effective.
We're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
Yes.
It's fair for people to say we should have a secure border.
Absolutely. And after you get past that, like, yes, let's work to secure the southern border. Well, let's invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. What are you actually going to build concentration camps? Okay, well, I'm sure that'll be come on the cheap. The plant a flag on Mars. Yep, that's super cheap. Declare an energy emergency. Wait a minute. Under the Biden administration, we produced more oil and natural gas than ever in our nation's history. What are you actually even talking about? I'm going to tariff and tax foreign countries. Well, tariffs aren't paid by foreign countries. They're paid by the importing businesses. I fail to see how that's going to work. Again, all in the service of reducing tax burdens for the wealthiest among us. Censorship. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that like DEI, censorship, and all these things, that's really what's going to move the needle for the American middle class. Like, none of it actually... The closest he gets is the tariff and tax foreign countries, which is a lie because that's not how it works. Everything else had nothing to do with helping middle class families put more dollars in their bank account and do better. Nothing.
Or make government work better. More efficiently. Right. You know, I mean, you brought up immigration. You know what? Let's dive into this for a second. Everything that Donald Trump laid out today is not a solution for actually making the immigration system work. It's not, you know, how do we make sure that we have a secure border? It is completely close everything. It is, you know, getting rid of pathways to actually have an organized and an orderly immigration system so we know who is coming into and out of the country. Take, for instance, today, you know, they announced that they're going to or it was reported that the president is going to sign an executive order that is going to terminate the use of CBP-1, which allows people to basically make appointments with immigration enforcement at the border. So that way, you know, they can have an orderly process for entering the country, right? People showed up to their seats today. And they're told, no, your appointment is no longer, you know, no longer moving forward. All of it is, how do we basically destroy the entire system and make it not work? And then shout that we've got problems and you know, try to use that as a political cudgel against the man's perceived political enemies. It's ridiculous.
Well, and that sort of gets right at the heart of the issue, right? Like, blow it up and destroy it and then act like somebody else made it, like that someone else alone created the problem. This has been a problem that administrations have been trying to address for literally decades in our country to little to no effect because we allow the politicization to keep us from actually doing something. And by the way, every law enforcement expert that I have ever worked with or spoken to about the concept of mass deportation and immigration raids into communities and businesses and rounding people up say, oh my goodness, please don't do that because it will make it so much harder to keep communities safe or to improve safety in communities that are struggling with a lot of violence because everyone will be afraid of us and no one will talk to us. And that's when you're running on a public safety platform and you do the thing that law enforcement experts say is actually going to decrease public safety. It's a little bit of a hard sell. We're going to come back with my very special guest, Colin Seeberger. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump's priorities for his second term and how they're going to impact you and your family. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule, guests, and stories from right here in our community.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a special guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. His name is Colin Seeberger. You can find an expert from the Center for American Progress Action Fund with me every Monday at 3 p.m. to help make sense of all the nonsense. And certainly we heard a bucket full of it this morning from the 47th president while standing in front of a grouping of billionaires and his family. It was like Donald Trump, family and billionaires, and then his cabinet. And then, you know, like the rest of the Congress people and everybody, you just sit with the regular folks. And the real regular folks, you know, the 95% of us, they were stuck in the hockey stadium down the block. Kind of unbelievable. Colin, let's pick back up where we left off. It looks like he's going to be moving forward with a number of executive orders today, probably most notably in the immigration space. What else comes to the top of your mind as most alarming for Wisconsinites and regular Americans?
Reports out today that the president is going to be moving on day one to pull us out of the Paris Climate Agreement. This is, I think, really not a sign of strength. I think it is, frankly, a sign of weakness. And it's also, you know, pulling America back, you know, from a real leadership position. You know, I think really puts our cities, our states like Wisconsin, businesses and communities that are being, you know, ravaged more and more by climate related events. You know, in Wisconsin, there were the tornadoes last year, right? There's, you know, I think a number of different kind of markers, like we saw the Great Lakes have kind of record low ice right now. We are seeing all of this play out in real time. And so to see, you know, the president moving quickly to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, right, I think, you know, is a real abdication of not just American leadership, but really throwing all of global climate action into chaos.
Yeah, it's again, when you stack up the things that he is saying are his priorities for day one against the campaign promise to help lift and elevate the middle class, and you look at what what the impacts of what he's doing will be. And it's actually going to hurt the middle class, like deporting millions of people, if it can even be done, while, you know, violating all kinds of fundamental constitutional ideals and precedents, is going to make things more expensive, right? Moving to a tariff-based system is going to make things more expensive. Pulling back from our support of Ukraine will only lead to further Russian aggression and the expenditure of even larger amounts of dollars, right? And the weakening of our allies, requiring the expenditures of even more larger chunks of dollars. Moving from taxes to a tariff system just taxes the middle class more while giving breaks to the billionaire. I'm losing the thread here, Donald. How is any of this helping regular Wisconsinites or regular people? None of it does. It's all just distractionary culture war stuff.
Totally. I mean, the guy is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, he can't talk about, you know, wanting to be the president of law and order and keeping our community safe. And yet at the same time, you know, networks are reporting today that the new Trump Justice Department is going to pull out of January 6th related cases, including more than 300 felony related cases that have, you know, involve felony crimes like police officers, among other violent acts. And so, you know, these are the kind of folks that we're talking about getting a blanket, you know, a blanket kind of pass and say, hey, don't worry about it. Because at the end of the day, it was all for Donald Trump. But you're exactly right. I mean, whether it is, you know, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. And his legacy, and yet at the same time, making it harder to actually execute on his vision, the guy, again, is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. And it does nothing to make people's lives better.
Yeah, and even down into the sort of issues of the moment, right? Natural disaster emergency responses, while not mentioning climate at all. It's like, well, say what you will about whatever you think about the responses to the LA fires. That doesn't happen without all of this climate degradation as precondition, overbuilding, overdevelopment, you can go on and on and on. It's not one cause for any of this stuff. It's numerous causes. Here in the state of Wisconsin, local communities are facing tens of millions of dollars in infrastructure repair and shore up that has largely been not just caused by, but destruction accelerated by environmental degradation and natural resource depletion that is showing up on the tax bills in each and every one of us, so that we're spending more to shore up our infrastructure here in the state of Wisconsin and have less dollars for the things that middle-class people need, like ensuring that our public schools are funded adequately, making childcare more affordable. There's so much going on here, Colin. If you would, can you zoom out for our Wisconsin listeners and tell each and every one of us what you think is really should be top of mind as we try to filter through what is going to be a fire hose of nonsense while also really important things are happening at the same time?
Yeah, I think that folks have to pay attention to not what Donald Trump is saying, but what he's actually doing, he and his cabinet are doing, as it relates to things like you know, following the Constitution. We saw him talk about this in his speech today, and yet his administration is apparently going to end birthright citizenship, which is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Right. They're talking about, you know, bypassing Congress to spend money at the president's discretion, not at Congress's. It is really lawless, and, you know, I guess it's not a surprise from a guy who's a convicted felon, but here we are.
Yes. Folks, that's Colin Sieberger. He is the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Fund. You can find special guests from the Center for American Progress Action Fund every 3 p.m. on Mondays. They help make me smarter every week. I hope you appreciate them, too. When we come back, I'll be joined by my partner in broadcasting, Dom Salvia, who's got the great program.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. Hours after being sworn in again as president, Donald Trump has signed dozens of executive orders. They include denying the constitutional right of birthright citizenship to children of undocumented immigrants or temporary visa holders and...
What is it? Withdrawing from the World Health Organization, sir?
Ooh, that's a big one.
He has also pardoned 1,500 people convicted in the U.S. Capitol attack and ordered all pending cases dropped. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The crowd formed at the Washington, D.C. jail Monday night in anticipation there would be some prisoners released from January 6th. There are only a handful of them held there, but there are dozens incarcerated in federal lockups from Texas to Louisiana to Michigan.
And then there is TikTok. President Trump has signed an executive order giving the social media platform a 75-day grace period from the U.S. ban.
I think the U.S. should be entitled to get half of TikTok. And congratulations, TikTok has a good partner.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers are moving up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers moved up in the national AP Top 25 thanks to a string of wins, including beating USC over the weekend. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation. They'll play UCLA tomorrow night. Marquette still highly ranked, moving down from 7th to 10th in the nation after losing to Xavier over the weekend, their first loss in the Big East Conference. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. I did think our guys showed incredible character, resiliency, fight to make it one possession. Didn't get it done.
NFL Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, is headed to Chicago. He'll sign the paperwork tomorrow to become the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. The Lions were eliminated by Washington over the weekend. In Atlanta, it's Ohio State against Notre Dame tonight in the title game for the College Football National Championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Comedian Dave Chappelle has made a living being funny and controversial, which is tough to do. On last weekend's Saturday Night Live, the comedian said he was tired of being controversial. During his fourth time hosting the show, Chappelle wished new President Trump good luck, joked about the LA fires, and at one point said he was never invited to a Diddy party, adding that that is a hard way to find out you're ugly. He might be tired of being controversial, but it will be interesting to see if he can avoid those urges over the next 4 years. Awards season is heating up, even for the less known award events. Saudi Arabia's Joy Awards took place over the weekend and had some serious star power in attendance. Morgan Freeman was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented by Anthony Hopkins. Matthew McConaughey was given the award for Best Personality, which is really impressive given that he makes the absolute worst commercials. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Extreme cold warning in the overnight as temperatures tumble to nearly 20 below zero. Our wind chills around 30 to 40 below zero. We'll see partly cloudy skies. On Tuesday, sunshine, highs zero or colder. Right now, it's 11 below.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by author of The Meet the Parents Story, Laura Enright, and Meet the Parents creator, Greg Liana. Then herbalist Mason Hutchinson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I hope you all are trying to filter things so that the good gets in and the negative stays at least an arm's length away. Unfortunately, I have to share with you what can only be described as some really disturbing images. Apparently, Elon Musk addressed a crowd of Donald Trump's supporters. And within the last 30 minutes, apparently, actually gave, and I'm watching the clip right now, it can only be described as a Nazi salute. He puts his hand to his heart and sticks his hand up in the air. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm watching it right now. Elon Musk is obviously not a moron and would understand what that hand gesture would connote or could connote or how it could be interpreted. Just ridiculous. Also hearing some reporting, I haven't been able to listen to the clips yet, that Donald Trump sort of admitted that he might have pulled one over on all of us, something along those lines. Again, I haven't been able to personally listen to it, but I think there is some coverage that's going to be coming out of this rally after the inauguration that can only be described as disturbing. Dom, you were a conscientious objector this morning for the inauguration. And folks, let me introduce my fabulous guest. His name is Dom Salvi. He's got the great program After Mine every Monday through Friday. He is the host of the Dom Salvia Show. Cardi's got the sound that we're listening to. You are a conscientious objector, but I'm curious to hear what this is. Dom, are you curious? Shall we take a listen just live on the air and see what we got here?
Yes, actually, I have this clip. I have heard it, and it seems like another one of those times where Donald Trump, you know, accidentally speaks the truth, question mark?
Where he's off the script and out of his mouth comes the actual stuff.
Right.
Well, my interest is piqued. Let's take a listen, Cardi.
And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
That's Musk. That's the salute.
That's the Musk salute. Now, and this one, I did see it on The Independent. Not only does he slaps his heart.
His chest.
And then puts that hand straight up in the air. He turns around and does it to the crowd behind him. He does it twice. Back to back. It's very evident. It's very clear. This is not some mistake or something that could be misinterpreted. He did it twice.
Wow. I don't have words for that. I mean, I don't have words for that. That is absolutely ridiculous. Let's just start with this as a baseline. I started the show this morning with this, or this afternoon, with this little tidbit, Dom, that the billionaires that Donald Trump sat with his family right behind him on the dais at the inauguration have a net worth north of $11 trillion, approaching $12 trillion. The bottom 95% of all Americans have a net worth of around $3.6 to $3.8 trillion. I just want us to absorb those facts.
Yes.
Right? Like, that is the difference. Why is that okay? Why is a completely transactional president acceptable? You know, I guess we could go into all of the reasons for the, you know, people staying home during the election cycle, being uninspired by both candidates. But that doesn't mean like actually just go full grift, full transactional, full embrace of Nazism. Like, that's not what people actually voted for. They didn't vote for corruption. I think whatever people may think about Donald Trump, they actually thought they were voting to try to stop those things. Why does he think he can go like full corrupt?
Why would people think that would be the case? If you're down, and certainly the institutions that all of us rely on have failed us to a certain degree, Maggie Dawn, our justice system did not fulfill its obligations, in my humble opinion. So if you're looking for someone to blow the whole thing up, well, what are some of those institutions and legacy issues? Well, they combat this kind of action. They're there to combat the corruption, the grift, and the greed, to temper it. So if you're going to try to blow the whole thing up, Well, why wouldn't you? The guy just released his meme coins and has like $60 billion on paper before he became the president. I mean, if this is a pure cash grab to the nth degree, and if you're out there making your $15 an hour and thinking like you're getting stiffed and you're not getting a raise and things are tough, and you go out and you vote for a guy like Donald Trump who's got $11 trillion sitting behind him, who made his own, apparently on paper, with this whole scheme of billions and billions of dollars prior to walking into the White House, you know, maybe you should reassess whether or not this is a guy who's going to be out there lowering the price of eggs, because they're already backing off of that promise.
Well, my entire show, I've basically been ticking off, you know, his hot topics from the inauguration speech. It's like, none of that has anything to do with helping the middle class do better.
No.
If anything, the things that he's promising to do will make things more expensive and more difficult for the middle class. It's just, wow. I'm still trying to grapple through the Elon Musk Nazi salute three times to a crowd of support. And by the way, I thought this was rich this morning, as Mike Pence, who attended this inauguration alone, did not bring his wife, as he was walking into the Capitol Rotunda, the people in the hockey rink, you know, who didn't really rate a front row seat because they don't have billions. The people in the hockey rink down the road booed Mike Pence.
Booed? They weren't chanting "Hang Mike Pence" again, were they? It was just straight up boos?
It was just straight up booze.
I mean, that's a positive turn for the former vice president. If you're only getting
they did get in some locker up for Hillary, though.
And mother stayed out? Mother stayed home? Interesting.
Fascinating. No mother appearing. You know, I'd never think I would ever say this, that Michelle Obama and Mrs. Mike Pence apparently have a very similar BS limit. Like, and this is it. Yeah. I am not going to this guy's inauguration. Okay, we've got the clip of Donald Trump admitting that maybe there was some hanky-panky going on. Let's take a listen.
But he went out to Pennsylvania after that. Musk. He landed that rocket nobody had ever seen. By the way, China can't do it. Russia can't do it or come close. It would be 10 years before they can do it. And the U.S. can't do it except for him. And it's pretty amazing. But he did that. And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy. And he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody. All those computers, those vote counting computers. Mm. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
You know, the very cool landing of the rocket booster to, you know, out there promoting me, helping me out in Pennsylvania. What does that have to do with anything with the vote count and the computers that Elon Musk apparently is an expert in?
Nothing. Nothing. It's like saying a podiatrist is also a brain surgeon. Like, you're good at one tech thing doesn't mean like, oh, you know them computers. It shows you like the depth of Donald Trump's ignorance when it comes to all things tech. By the way, his and I think you were talking about this, his cryptocurrency got like a massive chunk of seed money from a Chinese billionaire about a month and a half ago, which brought him up to the total seed money where now everything is going to be profit. And they're estimating, by the way, there's no limits on foreign governments or people that want to peddle, you know, trade for influence, that his family may end up making northwards of like $8 billion a year off the crypto, because it can effectively be, it's like a money laundering scheme. I don't know all the particulars about it. I'm going to spend some time on that, but it's like, it is. It's just widespread grift. Thanks, Elon, for delivering Pennsylvania. If giving people $1 million check for their votes in support of me wasn't quite enough, I'm really glad you got in there with those voting and election machines.
Yeah, how is that? I'm really looking forward to some sort of follow-up question with that. With regard to the meme coin issue with Trump and rolling it out with the way they did and all the insiders, hell, Melania's got her own now. She rolled hers out. It went up to a few billion, actually took a few billion away from Trump, to my understanding on the reading. But here's the thing. Back in the day, you used to have to go out and buy their book. Right, you have to buy it. Maybe give all this money to the campaign to buy up 100,000 books and then burn them all, because that's not the point. It's just to facilitate. And then Trump, you know, he upped the game. He bought a hotel, and then people had to, like, pretend to stay at the hotel, and that'd be another way to just, you know, transfer the money from the folks to Donald Trump directly. Now the guy's got his own meme coin.
Just crypto.
It just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
It's no longer show me the money. I just want some Jerry Maguire back. I want some Rod, you know, spiking a football. I need a little show me the money, not just give me the money, and then I'll deregulate your industry and punish foreign European countries if they try to restrict your spread of misinformation and garbage. I mean, why is it all the tech billionaires that are giving Donald Trump all this money? Well, because they want their crap deregulated, and they want Donald to punish the countries that actually try to say you have a responsibility to your users, that this doesn't become a cesspool of lies and hate and the most vile things that human beings can dream up. It is, you use your pen, your power to tariff, to punish people who don't cooperate with my industry, who don't cooperate with my megalomania, my penis rocket aspirations, and my I want to control all of AGI for all the time to come. That's why it's concentrated in the tech bro universe. It's not just it's very specifically tech bros, because that is the regulatory risk or tipping point that we find ourselves at. And that's what scares me the most, Dom. Deportations, bad. The LGBTQ hate, bad. The woman hating, the race baiting, all of that bad. But probably, along with climate, the two most significant risks to all of humankind are both in climate, and then, of course, how is tech going to be deployed in a militaristic and privacy eviscerating way in the future? How much of ourselves can be sold to the highest bidder over the internet? And if it's Donald Trump making the rules, there will be no rules. Period. Full stop. Unbelievable. Folks, I'm joined by my special guest who joins me every Monday at 3:30. His name's Dom Salvey. He's got the fine, fine program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We like to call this, in case you missed it, because sometimes I can get things that Dom missed. Sometimes he's got things that I missed. It's a lot of fun here. Folks, you want to participate? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got to give a special bit of love to the following texters and participators: Gary from Madison, Cam from Appleton, all of you, Bill Kabinski from Green Bay. I really appreciate all of the info flowing in, and a special big shout out and love to you, Lauren in Eau Claire, who says that she has chosen Civic Media over NPR for the past 6 months because we cover the stuff that no one else is talking about. Big love to you, Lauren. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, everybody out there, really appreciate it. Here's Mark Cuban today on X: if meme coins are the way, maybe I'll issue one with a twist. Same terms as Dalla Dalla Bill Trump, yo. A 20% float, same release schedule, one difference. All the revenue from the sale of the coins goes to the U.S. Treasury. The wallet address will be published so that everybody can track it. If you want to gamble, gamble, but at least use it to make a dent in the U.S. debt. Hey, there you go. Maybe one day we'll have some billionaires using their superpowers for good. Mark Cuban, I appoint you number one billionaire to figure that out. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last hour of Joe Biden's presidency and some of the pardons that he dropped with my special guest, Dom Salvey. You're not going to want to miss this last bit of discussion. What does that portend for the Trump pardons? We discuss next. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversations. So join this one. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Priest.
As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze Car Vent Clips, featuring three distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar! La, 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 la,
la. Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low-risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Power to the people and you. Let's stop the billionaires from taking over our government. It's just like, how many times do we have to review the Cliff Note version of this? You know, Elon Musk's wealth has just skyrocketed since Donald Trump's election for all the reasons that we've talked about. And here are the facts. Let me see if I can find the exact statistics. It's something like $5 trillion worth of wealth has moved from the bottom 95% of us to the top 1% of us. I mean, that's in, oh, let me get this exactly right, because it's not $5 trillion, Dom. It's worse than that. It's a scale of 10 largest. Since 1981, as much as $50 trillion has moved from the bottom 90% to the top 1%.
No wonder why people feel like they haven't gotten a raise in 50 years.
Right?
There's a reason for that.
It's just, after World War II, the top marginal tax rate was 91%. Today, 37%, with Donald Trump's promise to bring it down to 25. I'm sure that'll help with our deficit. But I promised that we would talk about the pardons. Let's start with the most interesting of them. I think the most important of them. And that was Donald Trump's pardon, and not pardon, commutation of the balance of his sentence for Leonard Peltier.
Biden. I'm sorry. Biden did that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Did I say Trump? I'm sorry. Yeah. That, so many things happening this afternoon. Joe Biden's commutation of the balance of the sentence for Leonard Peltier, a Native American activist who was one of several people involved in a firefight in 1975 that killed FBI agents Ronald Arthur Williams and Jack Ross Kohler on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation. He was the only person convicted in connection with their deaths. Two of his fellow activists were also charged in the murders, but were acquitted on evidence Peltier's defense was actually not allowed to present at his trial.
Yeah.
Amnesty International, Pope Francis, Nelson Mandela had all called for his release. Your reaction to this? I got text messages from a number of my First Nation friends celebrating his commutation and thanking President Biden for saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's long overdue. Symbolically great, little late. The guy's like 80 years old and has lots of health problems, but at least he'll spend his remaining days not confined for this act. In a circumstance where he was with other folks that could not present the evidence that may have exonerated him and put him in jail for all these years.
Yeah, the advocates for his commutation or pardon have pointed to the admission by a key witness in his conviction that she had lied, both about witnessing the murders and her own relationship to Peltier, as well as a juror who was seated despite admitting to prejudice against Native Americans. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Hey, Donald, that's what actual, like, rigged system looks like. Not what you received, buddy. I mean, woof. Congratulations to Mr. Peltier, his family, and the entire Native American advocacy community and all First Nation peoples. It was time. I also wanted to talk about Joe Biden pardoning. Literally, this pardon was announced at about 11:50 a.m. East Coast time, right like minutes before Donald Trump was to take the oath of office and become the 47th president of the United States. President Biden pardoning numerous members of his family. Your reaction to this, Dom?
Terrible. I have a big problem with this, and for all sorts of reason, precedent notwithstanding. A president has never pardoned people neither charged nor suspected of wrongdoing. You know, my whole thing was when you accept a pardon, I think it was the sheriff, Joe Arpaio, when he accepted, you know, there's an admission of the guilt, right? You accept the crime that you were accused of. What are the crimes? What are the crimes? Under what circumstance are his family accepting these pardons? It's not just his family, the J6 committee, Milley as well. What were their crimes? Why go down this
road? How about the January 6th officers? He pardoned a number of police officers that have been outspoken following the January 6th event.
What's the crime? What is the part? What, a blanket pardon?
But that's not, I mean, that's not why he's pardoning them, right? He's pardoning them because there is a, I think, fairly legitimate belief that Donald Trump will try to do what he has derided the entire time he in the last 4 years, and that is weaponize the Department of Justice and the FBI under the leadership of Kash Patel and Pam Bondi to persecute political opponents and those that spoke out against him. I think, to me, I understand the practical impetus for the pardon. The thing that worries me is, what does this portend? Is right. It sort of conceding the point that, like, yeah, go ahead and engage in political prosecutions?
Yes, it says all sorts of bad things. Number one, it says you don't have faith. If these folks are innocent, didn't do anything wrong, then any sort of weaponization of the DOJ would be folly, right? So either they did something wrong, you're concerned about them being, what, found guilty by a jury of their peers. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have faith in the system. Maybe they did something wrong. You know, I think if you're going to be in this role, you're going to stand up there and be Fauci. You're going to be up there and be Milley. You know, you do it with conviction and you take your chances. I don't, because now what's going to happen? This is precedent. Now Donald Trump is going to sell all the pardons and give them all away on his way out of town when these $11 trillion folks are working the system over to put more money into their pocket and crap it on the rest of us. And now then he'll just do the same thing. I think it's a terrible precedent.
It is complicating times. We always try to break it down here every day. I do my best for each and every one of you. You got Dom Salvia coming up next with his fine program. That concludes mine for this Monday Inauguration Day. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to each and every one of you. Remember, we can continue this grand American project that requires honesty, fearlessness, and commitment to the promise that America is, which doesn't mean erasing our history or, you know, selling it all to the highest bidder. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but always remember.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump is at the Commander-in-Chief inaugural ball, where he has danced and praised the military. It wraps up a day of being sworn in, giving speeches, and signing executive orders, including a rollback of environmental protection surrounding fossil fuel extraction and a U.S. pullout from the World Health Organization. And
this next order relates to the definition of birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment of the United States.
Yeah, that's a good one. Birthright. That's a big one.
What about that one in the courts? That one is likely to be
passed. Could be. I think we have good grounds.
CBS's Major Garrett has more on an executive order addressing the U.S. Capitol attack and those who've been convicted.
1,500 pardons were signed by President Trump. 6 commutations for those who have pled guilty or have been convicted by a jury of their peers for offenses related to the Capitol riot.